John 10:10, what has Satan so upset? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Would you turn to Genesis 1:1, please? I'm going to say a lot of things to you tonight, and I'm going to try to walk us through a lot of different things tonight. And I know it sounds strange for me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't want you to believe nothing that I say tonight. I don't want you to believe nothing I say tonight. Does it make sense, does it?
Yes, it does.
I want to show you where it is. Don't listen to me. I want to show you where it is. Okay? And I think sometimes that's where we get a little bit off course. It's because if you're saying it, show me.
That's right.
I love you. I trust you.
Mm.
With respect. Go ahead and show me that.
That's right.
So Genesis 1:1 says what, Miss Pam?
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Who created the heavens and the earth?
God.
God created the heavens and the earth. So when it says that God created, it means that God spoke. You remember the Bible says in the book of John, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Get it? John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. What does that read? Got it? John chapter 1, verse 1. Read verse 1.
In the beginning was the Word.
In the beginning was the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is New Testament. John is talking. John says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, how can Jesus be in the Old Testament and the New Testament?
Because
John said, in the beginning was the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus is this Word. He was born through a woman, but he was already here. That's why Isaiah says, the child that was born.
Mm-hmm.
But this child that was born, but the Son was already here.
Mm-hmm.
So in essence, he's saying, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word was what?
Wow.
Okay, so Jesus is God. Don't ask me to explain that. I can't. I just believe that. And I believe it because the Word says that. That's what the Word says, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it says now, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Satan, we say that he was kicked from heaven. I don't know if he was kicked from heaven, because the Bible says that he fell from heaven. Okay? So I want you to turn to Isaiah 14:12 through 15. You don't mind us doing this tonight, do you? I think it's important. We've been here a while, and we need to sometimes go back, and I want to assure you that I spend some time with God, and some of the things that I say to you, I really, really read those things. Isaiah chapter number 14, beginning at verse 12. Read it, Miss Pam?
Yes.
Read it.
How art thou fallen from
heaven? How art thou fallen? Not kicked.
Not kicked. Mm-hmm.
So we should stop saying that he was kicked out of heaven.
Right.
All we know that he was fallen.
Mm-hmm.
He fell from heaven. Keep going.
O Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? But thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High.
He would be like what?
The Most High.
So the problem with Satan was that Satan wanted to be just like God. Okay? So God is saying, now I created you. You can't be just like me. Okay? So if God created Satan, Satan says now, in my heart I'm saying I'm going to be just like you, God. I'm going to do everything that you do. And I realized that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now turn back to Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 2. We're going to be going for a while tonight. Okay?
Okay.
but I don't want you to believe anything that I tell you tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to me. Genesis chapter number 1, mm-hmm. verse number 1 says, in the beginning God created heavens and earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So whatever God creates, God is perfect whatever God creates, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now look at verse number 2. What does verse number 2 say?
And the earth was without form and void.
Okay, stop. How can we go from being perfect to what God has created? And so now we're talking about it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
What happened between verse number 1 and verse number 2? Because, you know, when we count, you know, English 1, then 2 comes after 1, and there's no number in between. But something had to happen between verse number 1 and verse number 2 to have a perfect society that God created. And now in verse number 2, it says what, Ms. Pam?
The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep.
Darkness represents what? Evil. Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So here all of a sudden, Satan now is on the scene. And so now we know how Satan got on the scene because of Isaiah chapter number 14, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we know how he got there.
Yeah.
Because he fell from heaven, right?
Uh-huh.
So we go from verse number 1, what God created, to verse number 2, a chaotic society. And there's no verse between verse number 1 and verse number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I said to you that Isaiah says study, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. In other words, your Bible's not in order.
That's right.
You believe that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if verse number 1 says that God created the heavens and the earth and everything is cool, verse number 2 it says it's a chaotic society. So now we know what happened between those two verses. It's what's called the gap theory. The gap theory is when Satan was dispatched from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's how we got there. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
So because Satan is no longer in heaven, he's now on this earth. And so because he's on this earth, his thinking is, okay, I'm on the earth and I am Lord of this territory.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
So because he's Lord of this territory, God began the process of kingdom on earth. By kingdom, I mean a territory. In order for there to be a kingdom must have a king. And the king must have a dorm or dominion over something, right? If you're a king and you don't have any people following you, then what good is it to be a king?
Mm-hmm.
What makes you a king is to have followers, right?
That's right.
And so here it is, we begin the kingdom. And so we have this king who is still God, but God does not have a kingdom on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so because God does not have a kingdom on this earth, God then created Adam. Go to Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 26. I want you to read that first, okay?
And God said, let us make man in our image.
And whose image?
Our image.
Now, is God see now?
No.
Because why is God talking to himself?
It's God.
Because in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God. So God wasn't talking to himself. God is talking to the Trinity. So when he says, let us, it's the Father talking to the Son and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so God is not just some old man and he's just senile. That's not it, okay? So here is God having a conversation. Keep reading, please.
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion.
Have what?
Have dominion.
Dominion. A king must have a dorm or dormitory or dominion over something. So here's God speaking, and God is saying that he's going to create man in our image, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when I create this man, the first thing I have to do to this man is I have to give him
dominion
over the kingdom. Okay? Remember what we're talking about tonight is why Satan so upset.
All right, man.
Why is Satan so upset? And so now we see that God created man in his image. Keep reading.
Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air,
right,
and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
Okay, so God created man, and God created man in his image, in the image of God. Now, because God has created man in his image, God created man, and he did not try to restore angels. When Satan fell from heaven, one third of the angels came with him. So God didn't take the time to restore a kingdom for angels. He made mankind. Okay? You get that? Now turn, please, to Jeremiah chapter number 4, beginning at verse number 23. The book of Jeremiah chapter number 4, beginning at verse number 23. Jeremiah chapter number 4, beginning at verse number 23.
I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void.
Same thing in Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 2, right? Mm-hmm. Keep going.
And the heavens, and they had no light.
No light. Keep going.
I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man.
No what?
No man.
No man. Okay. Okay, now God is saying that there was no man, right? Keep reading.
There was no man. All the birds of the heavens.
All the what?
All the birds of the
heavens. Now, when you see birds in the Old Testament, where you see it here, it's a reference to fallen angels. Okay? No man, just fallen angels. That's all that exists. Because when he speaks this and gives this revelation to Jeremiah, he's saying that there was no man. It was just a dark world. Now remember, Adam didn't come about until verse number 26, 27, 28. Mm-hmm. Keep reading, please.
I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord, and by his fierce anger.
By his what?
Fierce anger.
And now, why is God upset? There's no man. We haven't done anything yet. We haven't even been created. Now, why is he upset? Only one thing has happened to this point, right? Okay, that one thing is Satan falling from heaven. You with me thus far? So, the purpose of God placing man on this earth is to multiply. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Go to Genesis 1:28.
And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply.
Be fruitful and what?
Multiply. Now,
when God says be fruitful,
and increase.
A fruit only comes from a seed, right?
Uh-huh.
A man carries a seed.
Yeah.
And so if the man that God created is carrying the seed, he says, release the seed.
Mm-hmm.
But man has no way to release the seed to.
All right, man.
It's only Adam.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Can't make love to the wind, can you? I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Genesis chapter number 2. Verse number 23.
And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone.
No, wait a minute. Adam said, now this. What is the this? Because now Eve is on the scene.
Uh-huh.
So what is the this? Because certainly a man would not say to a woman, this thing. So the this that it refers to is the institution of marriage.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So this is where marriage comes in. Actually, marriage is the second institution. We say the first institution. The first institution is kingdom.
All right.
The second institution is marriage.
That's right.
Okay? So this is how marriage came about. Because he told Adam to be fruitful and multiply, but he couldn't do it outside of marriage. So he had to say, now this union, this institution is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. In other words, let's get married. So now Adam and Eve is married. And so because Adam and Eve is married, they now have the platform to multiply, to be fruitful, so that you and I can come on this earth. The problem is Adam and Eve had children, and Adam and Eve children had children, and sometimes, you know, children don't obey the same rules that you obey. Is that right?
Yeah.
We don't need the Bible for that. You just know that one, right?
Yeah.
Nevertheless, sin came about. You know that story? Well, don't believe me. Genesis chapter number 3. We know this story. Genesis chapter number 3, beginning at verse number 6. Start reading, please.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat.
She did what?
She took the fruit thereof and did eat.
Okay, so this is what your Bible is saying to you. It's saying that Adam took the fruit. Now, notice in your Bible, it doesn't say a green apple. It doesn't say that. It said a fruit, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it was a pear or a strawberry growing on a tree. I don't know what it was. Mm-hmm. We say things that are not biblical. We just make them fit. The Bible says it was a fruit. Nevertheless, she took the fruit, she ate the fruit, and gave it. Now, in the Greek where you see this, it means there is a continuous giving. Like you remember when Jesus blessed the food?
Uh-huh.
It means that the blessing was a continuous, when it had enough food for other folks.
Okay.
So in other words, Adam took it, she bit the fruit and gave it to someone. Which means somebody was standing by Eve. The only problem is that there was one other person. That was Adam. So don't think that Adam wasn't there. But you see what happens when the man is silent in the house. You understand what happens
then?
See, you may not like it, but God is a God of order.
Yes, He is.
And so the order is man, woman, children.
That's right.
That's just what God wanted to do. Okay, we can't turn that and flip it some other kind of way. So sin came about, and when sin came about, and God had blessed Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, and to do it in the safe havens of marriage, man then became unfaithful to his partner. Go to the book of Deuteronomy.
All right, Matt.
Chapter number 24. Book of Deuteronomy. Chapter number 4. I'm sorry, chapter number 24. Beginning at verse number 1. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ready.
When a man have taken a wife and married her, and
that's what Adam and Eve did. They got married, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When a man have taken a wife and married her, and it came to pass that she find no favor in his eyes.
Not no favor means he just don't like her.
Because he have found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement.
Now, stop. So, he doesn't like this woman.
Oh, my God.
And he finds something unclean in her. So, the Bible says you then write her a bill of divorce. That's how divorce came about.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Notice the reason for divorce is because of unfaithfulness. You get it? Keep reading.
She found favor in his eyes, but he found some uncleanness in her. Then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband...
Read that again.
Uh-huh.
And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house, house, or if the latter husband died, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife.
Because?
After that, she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord.
Okay. So, unless that woman is unfaithful to that man, okay, there is no grounds for divorce. Is that what the Bible says? I'm not talking about what you like. I'm talking about what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says, right? Okay, so now, because that's what the Bible says, you have to look at, number one, the reason that the divorce came about was a provision. Okay? It's a provision. Moses says, or the book of Matthew says, we'll get there in a second, it says, because of the hardness of your heart.
Uh-huh.
That's where we get cardio, and it deals with a heart attack.
Yes.
Because your heart is so hard. You just say, forget it. I don't even want forgiveness. I just want out. Now, just because the Bible, Old Testament, gives you the right to divorce.
My God.
It gives you the you have a freedom. So, well, you're not even not, you don't have freedom. You are free to get a divorce, but you're not necessarily have the freedom to do whatever. Okay. Some things in life you have you're free to do, but it doesn't automatically give you freedom to do something else. I may go to prison and I get out of prison. I'm free. But I don't have the freedom to go and vote.
That's right.
So just because you're free doesn't then mean you have freedom. Yeah. Those are two different things.
Uh-huh.
Stay with me. We're going somewhere. Okay? Now look at chapter number 22. Chapter number 22, same book. Chapter number 22, beginning at verse number 17.
And lo, he hath given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, and yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity, and they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city, and the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him, and they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver, and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife, and she shall be his wife, he may not put her away all his days.
Mm-hmm.
But if this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her.
Read that again, my friend, the whole verse.
Okay. Then shall they bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die.
So in other words, you have this woman that's coming to this man, and so the two are going to get married. So in biblical days, it talks about the elders of the city. There was a sheet, a white sheet, that was laid out.
Yes.
When you got married on that night, you did it on the white sheet. If that white sheet came back white, somebody wasn't a virgin. You understand that? That makes sense to you.
Uh-huh.
So, in essence, what he's saying is that if she's not a virgin, stone her. Remember that, because we're going to get somewhere with the stone. Okay? So if she's not a virgin, you have a right to stone her. That makes sense to you.
Mm-hmm.
So the divorce was for a provision. A provision.
Provision.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
God has not changed in any way.
Oh my God.
It's just a provision. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
To protect the woman who was in a relationship in which her husband cheated on her, so that she is not stoned, you give her a divorce because she know, or society knows, she was married. So why are you now trying to hook up with somebody else?
All right.
So she says, here's a divorce.
All right.
It's her safe passage.
All right.
You see how divorce came in?
Yeah. All right.
But you see how we use divorce
yeah,
today?
All right.
So you have provision, you have protection. And then there's propitiation, which means that every time something happens in a union, blood must be shed.
That's right.
The blood that is shed for you and I is the cross. Somebody has to pay for our sin. Every time that we're unfaithful, the fact that Jesus died on the cross, his blood is payment for our sin. Remember, we're married to him.
Yes.
And he's coming back for you and I. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great wedding day. But we have to be perfect, sinless in the sight of God when he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're all filthy. We're all unfaithful. So how can that be other than when God looks at us, he looks at us through the blood of the Lamb, so he doesn't see our sin. You understand the payment that was made? You understand that?
Yes, sir.
Now, I want you to get this from this. I need for you to turn to John 3:16. I need for you to understand that the reason that Jesus died is because of love. Love. Don't turn it here, okay? Read John 3:16. John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
For God so loved. The motivation behind giving his son is love. Nothing else.
Love.
There's nothing greater than love. Nothing. Nothing is greater than love. Keep reading.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Whosoever believeth in him. It doesn't matter. Now, God understands the shortcoming or the sin nature of man. Remember, we're born through the bloodline of Adam. The vehicle to restore mankind to salvation is grace. Grace is what God gives us. Okay? We can't give God grace. We can give him love. Because he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Okay, now turn to Romans chapter number 6, beginning at verse number 22. We live in a society today where you hear grace has a place in the kingdom of God. We are saved by grace, according to Ephesians chapter number 2. You are saved. It is through salvation, the grace of God, salvation, that we're saved. But in order to get to that salvation, it requires love. You can't have grace before love. And if you try to have grace before love, how can God give you something, give you salvation before you're in a relationship with him? Step one, step two. You get it? Romans chapter number 6. You there?
Yes.
Beginning at verse number 22.
But now being made free from sin.
Now, keep reading because this is funny.
But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life.
Now, listen to what he's saying. Romans chapter number 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in Romans chapter number 6, beginning at verse number 22, he says, but now being made free. Free from sin. Now you're free from sin. So you can do whatever you want to do. You think. But he says, come back. Because you're free, but you don't have freedom.
Right.
Because you're free from sin, but now you're a servant of God.
That's right.
Just because you're free doesn't mean you have freedom. Just because you're released from something doesn't mean that it's okay for you to go and do something else.
My God.
See, we say about our children, you think you're wrong, so you just don't go do what you want to do. So what God is saying is that I love you so much that you owe me servitude. You owe me a praise. You owe me service. You owe me that. That's the least that you owe me is to serve.
Yeah,
that's right.
So one, he says in verse number 22, he says, free. But it doesn't necessarily mean freedom, because now you become a servant to it. Number two, watch this. Give grace is primarily for life or salvation. As I just said before, you can't receive the grace of God until you receive the love of God. Grace brings you to salvation.
The benefit of
You understand that?
Yeah.
So you can't skip over love and say, I'm grace. No, it doesn't work that way. See, sometimes we run to grace because whatever we do, we say, grace is sufficient. But God says, yes, grace is sufficient. But what I want to show you is that before we get to grace, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We won't keep going to grace because grace, it says, yes, I'm there. But love says, come under obedience to me. Does that make sense to you? Now look at it again. It says in Romans chapter number 6, verse number 22. But now being made free from sin and becoming servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. Unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. Listen to this. For the wages. Wages is something you get as a result of working. He says the wages. You go out and you do you and you do your dirt. He says what you deserve is death.
My God.
Right.
But, cancel that out. The gift of God.
Yeah.
That's grace. Is eternal life.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
He says you can work and go to hell. Or you can accept my grace and go to heaven.
My God.
You understand that? But there first must be a piercing in your heart to make you receive the love of God to come under the umbrella of grace. You don't get grace first. You have to come through love. And when you come through love, then grace is available. Now, well, I can just do whatever because grace abounds. Now, listen to what Jesus says, because Jesus says this. He says, I did not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. So turn to Matthew 5:17. I'm only about halfway there. And we're going to finish later. But turn there, please.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
He says, I didn't come to do what?
To destroy.
To destroy the law.
That's right.
The fact that you now live under grace doesn't mean the Ten Commandments disappear.
Right.
Quit the foolishness. They're still there. They are still there. Jesus says, I give you one more commandment, and that is love, right? So he says, I didn't come to do away with the Ten Commandments. I just want you to love. If you love, all that other stuff will fall in place. But you first have to love. Stop saying that the Ten Commandments is no longer in effect. They are still in effect. What you need grace for if there's no law? All of us doing it right.
My God.
You don't live under the Ten Commandments. You now live under the grace, the covering of the New Testament. But that doesn't mean that I don't have to do anything of the Old Testament. Doesn't mean that I can just take all 10 and just go right through them and just say His grace is sufficient. That's not what He's saying.
That's right.
That's not what He's saying at all. You get that? So what God desires for you and I, and so that we can have life. He wants us to have life. And so the fact that He wants us to have life, it really means that in order for us to live for Him, we must exist. But not any kind of way. Because remember, He says, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So in other words, He doesn't want you to live a jacked up life waiting for Him. You understand that? But now, it's not grace that allows you to live a good life. It's the blessing of God. Grace is the favor that is necessary when you fall short. The blessing to God is the empowerment to do what He gave you dominion to do. Back to Genesis, right?
Yes.
So what Satan is upset about is the fact that you have his power.
That's right.
So he wants it back. So he comes, give me 10 more minutes and we'll be done with this. So what he wants to do is he now comes to steal, kill, and destroy. In other words, you are walking in the shoes that he used to walk in. He knows how beautiful the feet of those that God has set is, but we don't see it. So here we are stumbling through the darkness, and he said, if mankind only knew what they were empowered to do. So the reason that he's upset is because of the dominion. Now when Adam and Eve was in the garden, they were not alone.
That's right.
When Adam and Eve was in the garden, Satan was right there. Genesis chapter number 3. Right? So he was there. And so because he was there, here it is, God's talking about, I'm going to give mankind dominion over the earth. But I thought you sent me down here to be in charge. But Jesus did not die for an angel. He died for mankind. That's why he didn't come as an angel. He came for who he came to redeem, you and I. That's why we're created in his image, because he needed to feel everything that we feel in order to cancel out what we feel. So when you begin to go through something and you say, don't nobody understand me, that is a lie. He came and he experienced what you feel, and even you fall short, he says, now, child of God,
all right,
my grace,
my grace
is sufficient.
My grace.
So the Bible declares that Satan comes but to steal. So what is he trying to steal? He's trying to steal your blessings. See, in the garden, back to Genesis, that's what I want to read. In Genesis 1, 26 through 28, when God gave mankind dominion over everything, and then he says before that to Adam, he says, name it. What you call your situation? You're going through something. Do you call it trouble or do you call it an opportunity for God to bless you? You name it. When the doctor says you have cancer, do you say I agree or watch my God heal me? What you call it? When you're going through something and everybody walk out of your life, do you say it'll never change or do you say my God will never leave me, never forsake you? What you call the thing?
All right now. If you say
see, what you name something is what it becomes. Because you have dominion. You have the power to call it something and it become that. And life and death is in the power of where? The tongue. You call it what you want it to be. So he says, Satan comes to steal. He comes to kill. So what he's trying to kill, at the core of every strong, healthy relationship, it must be trust.
Oh, yeah.
So if he can kill the trust that you have in God, you're through. Because you're on this earth and you can't trust God, who can you depend on? You certainly can't depend on man. You certainly can't depend on nothing else. What can you count on? The only thing that you can trust is the Word of God. And how long has the Word been there? In the beginning was the Word. He says, I'm an Alpha and I'm Omega. I was here then, I'll be there. And he says, I know the plan, the thought that I have for you. So what he's trying to kill is your trust that you have in God. If he can kill that, then you're not in a healthy relationship with your dad. So every time you pray for something, you're not sure if he's really going to do it.
What did you say?
So if Satan can kill that thing, he's going to steal, he's going to kill, and he's going to destroy. Now what he's trying to destroy is the path that God has us on. See, the path is a plain view. It's simple.
All right, now.
The path is seek ye first the kingdom. Because all of this is about a kingdom on this earth, right? We already dealt with that in Genesis 1. So it's all about a kingdom. And so God is saying, now listen, I'm going to elevate you from being just servants. Now you're my brothers in Christ because I'm going to tell you the plan. A servant just worked for the master. He doesn't know the plan of the master. He says, I tell you the plan. So no longer are you servants of mine. You're now sons and daughters of mine. Don't you know what your daddy have? He wants to share it with you. What kind of father would he be if he's sitting on blessings, streets paved in gold, and you going through hell on earth? What kind of daddy would that be?
Lord have mercy.
So he says, listen, here's the plain view. And the plain view is the kingdom. I want you to understand that you have power over the kingdom.
Yes.
You have power over this earth.
Yes.
Then Jesus says, listen, he says, now Satan comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. And then there is a beautiful word in there, my favorite word. He says, but.
But
cancel all that out. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Just don't even worry about that. And it kills me when church folks say, oh, you know, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I went through something and it was rough. And we stop there instead of canceling that out because Jesus says, but I came.
Yeah, I came.
So that you can have life. Now, life is what? Life is the Spirit of God being inside of you. That's why you say, greater is He, the Holy Spirit, that is in me than He, this body, that is dealing with worldly stuff. So you say, don't be fooled by what you see. Because if you come against me thinking that, okay, well, that's only 5'9" worth of something, you're going to get just knocked out. Because the Holy Spirit is going to punch you so hard. It's never the person you're fighting. It's always the anointing that you're fighting. That's why the Bible says, touch that my anointing and do my prophet.
No harm.
No harm. And so he says, but I came that you may have life. In other words, the Spirit of God that is inside of you. And in that Spirit that is inside of you, he says, now I'm going to propel you to do it through the blood of the Lamb. We've overcome by the testimony and the blood of the Lamb.
Yes, that's right.
So the reason that Satan is upset is because you're sitting in his position.
That's right.
And he knows how wonderful it is. He knows that you're in a position that he can't touch you. When are you going to see it?
Have mercy.
When are you going to see it? When are we going to realize just how awesome we are in God? When we realize how awesome we are in God, then we understand that we have power, dominion over every single thing. In closing, I want to talk to somebody tonight. Because what you are afraid of is dying. Jesus says, I'll do that for you. So he stretched forth on an old rugged cross. He died. And then he gets up and he says, death. You're saying, because that didn't hurt me. I didn't feel that. Because now, because I'm in the Lord, I understand that death is the vehicle to take me over to the other side. That's why Paul says, if you let me live, I'm going to praise him. If you kill me, I'm going to praise him going there. It doesn't matter what you do to me. I'm going to give God praise in everything. That's why God wants the glory. And what you're going through tonight is for his glory. For his glory. You said, I'll do anything. Death, where's your sin? Grave, you thought you could hold me? Where's your victory? You can't hold me. What God has blessed, no man can hold it. Why are you worried about what they think, what they say about you? They can't stop you. They can't hold you. They just talking because they want to steal, kill, and destroy. In other words, they want to distract you so you can lay it down. Because they understand that the power, the might, the blessing, the dominion, the authority that you have, no man. give him some praise in his place tonight.